I want to play a game with you. Let me explain the rules. All your files are now encrypted. Every hour at random, I'll select a file and delete it permanently, so not even I will be able to retrieve it. If you try to restart your computer, I will delete 1,000 files as punishment. So, let's start our little game.
You've just heard a real threat from a real cyber attack. 1 in 3 small businesses have been hacked. Hiscox are experts in small business insurance. We cover loss of income, the costs of dealing with an attack, and we'll get you back up and running fast. Hiscox, ever onwards.
We rolling?
Let's start from the top, innit?
Okay. This is Spoke, a new podcast series of me, Chidera, a.k.a. The Slum Flower.
And me, Sully Breaks, poet extraordinaire, where we discuss the issues at the heart of youth culture today and how music and literature are shaping the conversations. Find us on your favourite podcast platform and be sure to subscribe.
Come join us and speak out. This is Spoke. I know we're going to do that together. I was like, rah. You're still talking? Okay, cool.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life. Blocks sold separately. Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
And Brandon, welcome back to the United States of America.
Yay!
How have you been?
Let me tell you the story of my life.
Okay.
It all started when my dad put his sperm in my mom's butt, and there was a hole in her butt that went into the vagina and accidentally got her pregnant. Little did they know. Long story short, I got fired from my job after 10 years, and then 3 days later, went to Scotland for 2 weeks. Woo! That's what you do when you get fired. You go, fuck this country, and you leave for 2 weeks and spend a bunch of money you shouldn't have. So,
That's a good story.
That's what I did.
Well, congratulations on the firing.
Yeah, thank you.
It really streamlined.
We're calling it the place I work. I don't care if I mention it. They're calling it the leaving. The great leaving.
The great
leaving. Shall be remembered. Funny enough, side story. And this is actually true. Ever since I left, they've been finding a dead bird almost every day outside the entrance. I have nothing to do with it. But one of my coworkers says a hawk keeps coming by and dropping birds. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. A hawk should be eating it. But they're finding a dead bird. She sent me pictures. There are just dead birds in front of
it. You used to work at like a raptor sanctuary or something like that, right?
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. But maybe it's one of those birds that was let go and they're dropping
that
down like warnings.
It's either warning or it's like they're paying their respects. Like, this is for Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, though, they sent me a picture.
It has to be one of those birds that you nursed back to health at some point.
They sent me a picture of this sparrow, and I was like, he's just sleeping. Just wake him up. And I was like, maybe he flew into the door and he's stunned. He was like, no, the other side of him has just got puncture wounds and it's bleeding out. I was like, oh, okay.
So they didn't even try mouth to mouth?
No.
Mouth to beak?
I've seen mouth to mouth.
Puncture wound?
I've seen mouth to mouth on a bald eagle and it worked.
Yeah.
It's. I don't think you want to wrap your mouth around a beak, though. It's a little, you got to shove it far in. But anyway, what were we talking about? Scotland.
We were talking about your spiritual connection to birds. It's created some kind of protection ring, and they're like, I don't know, acknowledging you. It's complicated, but
Scotland,
it's beautiful.
Does have a great internship for falconry. You can learn falconry there, and they'll.
Why didn't you just stay?
Because you're not allowed to. As a United States citizen, I have to come back to this fucking place, or else I get in trouble.
But he has to get the right visa. He could get a falconry visa, and then
why didn't you apply for one of those?
Because there's no money in it. and I need money to live.
No, you can work the Renaissance Festival circuit. You just have to off the other people.
They actually, there are signs that say they do use falconry in the UK at airports and landfills and stuff to keep other birds and things out of, like, propellers and dangerous stuff.
Plus, full-time, year-round work if you can get the gig over at Medieval Times.
That's true.
Right here in town. They've got a falconer. You can make the falcon just fly around the audience. Have you never been to Medieval Times?
I actually haven't.
What?
You know, maybe we should take advantage of this. We were approached by Medieval Times at one point to do some kind of promotion with them. There was no...
And we declined?
What? Well, it was just, there was a lot of other things going on, and really, we weren't necessarily going to get much out of it.
Any publicity is good.
If
publicity.
They would give us except for a free pot of their soup, I would be
emu leg.
Yeah,
just one.
I'll drop them another email and I'll see what we can do. It's been a couple years, but maybe we can have a Medieval Times special.
We could record live from Medieval Times.
That was discussed.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I talked about
turned it down.
Here's what I talked. It was really. Here's the thing. We wanted to make it worth their while because we wanted to see if we could, how much we wanted to make it a business transaction. So we were trying to put more into it.
Wait, whoa. You approached them?
No, I think
you're making it sound like we approached them.
Well, no, they approached us, and then we had a discussion about it was sort of a what can we do kind of conversation. And hopefully, I'm not I don't think I'm violating any degree of confidentiality
here.
Did
you
sign anything?
It was a
pretty casual conversation, but we talked about the possibility of doing a video series with Jamella, the puppet. At Medieval Times, and I was like, that sounds amazing.
And you said, we're not going to get anything out of this. No,
I said, look.
Any publicity is good publicity, even if you don't get money.
Well, it's complicated, right? Because our podcast, do you want this to turn into a business conversation? Because our podcast interests and the amount of the things that we do that actually give us the most clout and energy in terms of stimulating a listenership or a new listenership do not come from events outside of the convention circuit or anything else. I don't know who that's necessarily, but it's
probably because we've never partnered up with Medieval Times.
Yeah. Well, first you said they approached you. How do they know about us?
We get solicitations all the time. We're
higher ups obviously know.
It's just they're often not worthy solicitations, and that was one of the most attractive ones I've seen.
Well, that's why we should pursue Cheddar's. We should make a deal with Cheddar's.
The sports bar.
Is it a sports bar?
No, it's not a sports bar.
I've never been to
one. It's a scratch kitchen.
Yeah, it's a fine American restaurant.
It's a scratch kitchen.
Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen.
That's what they're calling themselves now?
There's nothing from scratch.
Like TGI
there.
Friday's Scratch
everything,
Kitchen.
Everything is from scratch. Definitely not out of a bag.
Everything has been scratched by rats in the back. That's what a scratch kitchen is.
So I guess having said that, we're throwing out our Cheddar's promotion.
Yeah. Where you can get a giant chicken for $12.99 and the painkiller drink, which has five different types of alcohol.
That will kill
your
pain.
It's a good drink. It's actually a pretty good drink.
It's a brain cells.
Yeah. And it's the size of a fishbowl.
I just want to state that Brandon and I have been talking about Cheddar's for, I don't know, probably a year
and a half
or something.
What's your favorite restaurant? That's why.
I mentioned at one time that I thought it was better than, Fridays and Applebee's and Chili's and stuff like that.
Other things with buildings the same shape and size.
Right. It was like... To me, it's among the top tier of the fast casual restaurants, right?
So, go on.
I said to Brandon, you should give it a try. And from that moment on, it was solidified in his brain as my favorite restaurant.
We're both remembering this differently. You remember it that way. I remember, Brandon, Cheddar's is my favorite restaurant.
Oh,
you
bullshit.
Have to go.
And I'm not that enthusiastic about absolutely anything.
And you're your eyes
and
are so...
And everybody listening knows that.
Your eyes are so wide, and you were, drooling, and you were screaming. You were manic. You're like, Brandon! And I was like, whoa, Boar, okay, we'll go. And I was like, oh, it's all right. But man, Boar's favorite restaurant is weird.
If anybody has listened to, more than three or four episodes, they know that you lie, and I'm not enthusiastic about anything.
I've never lied a day in my life, Boar. One of us lies and one of us tells the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, what a lie.
But anyway, we went there, right? I think for my birthday.
Because it's your favorite, yeah. So we took you to Cheddar's?
No, because we were joking about it. And I was like, sure, let's go to Cheddar's. And Brandon actually thoroughly liked it.
Oh, yeah. No, the food was good. I don't recommend... It's not... from scratch. I don't know. I don't care that they're saying it's a scratch kitchen. I don't know what that means.
I think that's an extremely early 21st century hipsterism.
Yeah, some of that food was frozen.
Nomenclature.
Yeah, it's not from scratch.
Gentrified nomenclature. That's what that is.
If by scratch they mean they took frozen French fries and then made a sauce from scratch and dumped it on frozen French fries, then yes.
I mean, I think they would argue that they made fresh French fries. And
I demand, if you're listening, Cheddar's execs and CEO, I want to be taken on a tour in the back. You show me how you make everything from scratch, and I will set the record straight. I will come back here in a week. And I will talk about the greatest restaurant on the planet that Boar loves, Cheddar's.
Brandon, I have a question. Are you assuming that Cheddar's doesn't live true to its claim of being a quote-unquote scratch kitchen just because you would rightly assume that no one else in their particular restaurant bracket bothers to, say, cut potatoes in the morning?
There's two answers to that. One, yes. And two, I've eaten a lot of food.
Uh-huh.
I've eaten food from scratch.
Uh-huh.
I've eaten food my whole life.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I haven't eaten food my whole life. But in the short period of time where I have eaten food, I know what food from scratch kind of tastes like. And it just tastes not fresh.
Does it taste bad?
No.
Okay. Cool.
Taste bad. But there's a thing with you get from certain textures where you just know. You know, like a French fry.
Do you even remember what you had?
No.
Why are we talking about Cheddar's?
I don't know.
So I went to Scotland where there's no Cheddar's.
Bringing it back around to Scotland.
And so we had a plan. We had a 2-week plan.
You and Denica.
Yes. Where we planned an Airbnb at the beginning of the trip for 3 days and then an Airbnb at the end of the trip for 3 days. And then the middle, 8 days, we were going to rent a car, drive down through Scotland to Manchester to hang out with someone, and we were just going to randomly find Airbnbs the night before and try to figure things out.
Sure.
That was a great time. Edinburgh is a cool city. You can walk around.
I love Edinburgh.
It's kind of dirty. There's pizza everywhere for some reason.
Including haggis pizza.
I didn't try the haggis pizza, but one of my favorite things is since it's a really, really old city, and they're pretty, secular, when they don't give a fuck about religion.
Sure, yeah.
So all their churches are converted into restaurants and hotels and stuff.
Oh yeah, and during the Fringe Festival, because that's the globally the big Fringe Festival.
We were there right, I think, after. Yeah. We missed the clusterfuck, which was great. They told me you do not want to be there during that.
Oh, in theory you do, because it's amazing. But
I mean, we wouldn't have been able to get an Airbnb if that was going.
That is true, yes.
But
they turn, the churches get turned into venues for all kinds of different performances and stuff. It's pretty wild.
And everyone's cool. Everyone's nice there in Scotland. And then, so the thing that I love is you can get a breakfast called a traditional Scottish fry.
Yeah.
And it comes with haggis, black pudding, these little fried hash browns, beans, tomatoes, five other things. A lot of food.
Yeah.
And because it was 50 degrees when we went, and you do a lot of walking, even though you're eating a 2,000 calorie meal, you're not gaining any weight because you're walking all day in the cold. So that was cool. But haggis, I tried for the first time because I can't go to Scotland. You can't go to Scotland and someone puts haggis in front of you and you can't be an asshole and go, that looks disgusting. I'm not going to try it. So I tried it and it's really fucking good.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I hate gamey things. I can't do sheep. I can't do goat. They make me want to throw the fuck up. But I tried haggis and it was really cheesy and garlicky and I loved it. It was absolutely wonderful. Black pudding,
I'm actually a pretty big fan of black pudding, too.
So here's
how I like it better.
I know I don't like black sausage, but I don't know about pudding.
I think it's similar.
They're
both blood-based.
Yeah. It's when pudding is like a sausage, but it's like a sausage patty. So it's denser, and it's it can be cooked a little firmer. So I like that better.
Okay.
So The problem with Edinburgh, though, is it's a touristy city. They have, the boy wizard stores over, which, fucking Harry Potter.
You know, when I was there,
Scottish,
that wasn't a thing.
Scotsman stores where you get shitty kilts and scarves and things for your family clan and just all this crap. However, there was one American diner that had, Elvis standing in front of it. And we were hungry one day, and that was the only place
you found Chewies?
Open. No, it wasn't Chewies. But we were let's go there. And the weirdest shit happened. They were playing American music that we would never play in America. And the people in the restaurant were singing to it. They knew all the words. They literally were playing the I Want to Be Like You song from the Jungle Book animated movie from back in the day.
What?
As an American classic hit. And there was like there was a Scottish woman and man sitting next to us, and she's like, I want to be like you. I was like, well, and we were just staring at each other going, what the fuck is happening? And just songs I've never heard before from artists, like the random songs they've made that they never like would play here. So it was a really weird experience.
Well, maybe not in this time period when, you know, only a couple different organizations run the airwaves and they've shaped what we do and don't hear. Maybe then, but it is their perception of Americana is extremely strange.
Well, no, that's what was weird, is it was just that restaurant. When we went anywhere else in the UK or any other restaurant, it was like the latest hits from like R&B and hip hop and pop in America. It was like Taylor Swift and Katy Perry and like just random like popular American songs. I never once heard like, what the fuck is Scottish music? I don't know, and I've been to Scotland. There was a guy playing a bagpipe every day from like dawn till dusk busking, and had like a little change thing out, and he wouldn't stop. And I guess that's Scottish music, because I didn't hear anything else besides that.
Well, I mean, there are no shortage of European, specifically UK pop acts out there that I don't know how much BBC you listen to or not, but you know, they have more traction there than they do here.
But I have
a story about their perception about American music, though.
Go for it.
I was doing karaoke at the basement floor of a bar in Edinburgh called Frankenstein's, and there is this old Scottish dude running it, and he saw that there was a table of American students there, and was like, I got a song for you! It's a redneck anthem! And he starts playing Achy Breaky Heart as though that's somehow actually representative of any kind of redneck culture other than like, you know, everyone, I mean, who listens to
country.
It was like a novelty song in the early 90s,
my Achy Breaky Heart
in general, but you know, it's not Friends in Low Places or something. No. You know, it's extremely far, it's a cartoon version of American country music. So anyway, proceed.
Well,
Scotland.
Well, I was going to say, the weird thing about Edinburgh is that since it's a major tour, they have, you know, the Edinburgh School there, and we went there because we
know. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's a huge university, and one of our friends is going there for a year to study, like, archaeology. So she got in, and it's, like, the town of Edinburgh itself is, like, 50% Americans, and then, like, 40% Asians. I don't know why, that's just how, and then 10% actual Scottish people. That's how Edinburgh was when I went.
Interesting.
There are so many Americans. We ran into Americans who were going to be like, hey, do you know where this is? And we're like, dude, we're from Florida. We don't know. And they're like, oh, shit, hey. And that happened all the time. But when we left Edinburgh... Oh, wait. I'm missing a fucking great story before I left Edinburgh. There's a place called Arthur's Seat.
I love Arthur's Seat.
It's a giant like hill/mountain you can walk up. And so we made it one of our goals to like get to the top of this mountain. And there's a tradition where you drink this wine called like Buckfast, and it's like this grape wine or something. And it's
grape wine. Wait, slow down.
I've never heard of grape wine.
It's a grape liquor.
Sorry, it's a grape liquor, not a wine.
I hardly know her.
But it's really good. So I thought it was a good idea, seeing that I hadn't had any coffee in 6 months, because it's like a diuretic. I was like, I'm really gonna get up this fucking hill today. Drink some coffee, have a full Scottish breakfast, huge, prepare myself, and then we walk 30 minutes to get to like the other side of the town, because it's not, you can walk there, it's great, and then we see this looming hill, and as we're going up Arthur's Seat, there's a huge trail, and I look to the right, and I go, let's take that trail, there just looks like random stairway that's going off into the distance, and it's a complete opposite side, so we start walking up this other hill that we can't see over the top, and halfway up, my stomach starts hurting really bad. Yeah. And you can hear it now almost. It's like I'm still there. And Jenica's like, what's wrong? I was like, no, I'm fine. Keep going. And I start sweating. And we're walking up. It's called like Salisbury Peak or something. It's next to Arthur's Seat. And it's halfway up. I can no longer walk. I'm like, Danica, if I walk anymore, I'm going to shit my pants. And she's like, what the hell is wrong with you? I was like, I drank coffee and ate a huge breakfast. And I haven't pooped in 3 days, and it's all liquefied. And I look down, and I can see the city. I can see the streets and the roads. There is no way I can make it down. It's like a half a mile of like weird rocky slopes to get back down. So I say, keep going. I will find you. And I wander off. And there's a bunch of people all over. But, like, because I picked this peak because I like taking the road, like, less traveled. Mm-hmm. You know, where there aren't people, where I can actually just explore and be away from things.
You hike see. Like you live your life.
With no purpose. With purpose.
With no purpose down the road less traveled.
Yeah. I don't get the reference, guys. But anyway. So... I find these bushes. It's a ring of bushes. Like down a, I have to walk down like an incline. There's a ring of bushes, like something in Zelda, and they're all covered in thorns. But I go
nettles, yeah.
Yeah. But that is a perfect spot in the center. I need to get in there.
Wow.
And okay. And so I find an entrance, a small entrance that I can crawl. I can actually crawl through. I can see it. There is nothing blocking. There's no nettles. I crawl straight in. And I stand up, and it's just this really nice, fluffy... I don't know if you've been to Scotland, people, but it's got really fluffy, springy, nice grass. It's not like the shit in Florida. It's really nice. It's like almost like hair. And it's a huge... It's a bed...
land covered in hair.
It's a bed of this hair, like a round table-sized bed of hair surrounded by nettles, and I'm in the middle. No one can see me in any direction possible. And I'm like, this is perfect. Now... Unbeknownst to you guys, I acquired an item earlier in the day.
In your quest, yes.
Or else I would have been fucked. It was because it was so cold, my nose is a little runny, and my friend Laura, who was there, was like, here's a package of portable like mini tissues. You'll need this. And then as I had to shit
it's
on
dangerous
that
to go alone, Brandon.
As I had to shit on that mountaintop, I reached into my pocket and found the entire unsealed package of tissues, and I was like, yes, now I don't have to wipe my ass on nettles. It was great. And so I'm not done yet. So I go into the back, kind of in between the nettles and the grass, and I pull down my pants. Now, this is where squatting for like 30 years has paid off. I can just squat and poop. But I pull down my pants and I go, oh, this is wrong. I can't do this. I can't just shit in the middle of nowhere with my pants down like this. And I pull my pants back up. And I was like, oh, I can't do this. And so I try to get out. And I was like, no, I have to shit right now. So I go back and I pull my pants halfway down to my knees. And I go, what if it comes out liquid and drips down my legs and goes into my socks and shoes? What am I going to do? And then I said, no, I will push so hard. It will shoot out like a fucking shotgun. And I did it. And it sprayed everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like chocolate pudding. It was like chocolate ganache. It was like melted Oreos. Because there was a little bit of white in it for some reason we won't go into. And it smelled horrific.
It's just excreting nitrates, that's all.
It smelled horrific. I used all the tissues. I made a neat pile. I tried to cover it with a little bit of grass. I think everything there died immediately. You would think poop would put nutrients into the ground, but for some reason everything started like wilting. And then I pulled my pants back up and I found Anakin. And we went to the top of that fucking mountain. And I conquered that mountain in more ways than one that day. I shit on it. I shit on the face of that fucking mountain. I shit in Scotland on a mountain. And really that would have made the trip worth it right then. Within 3 days, I could have gone home and be like, that's my story.
I was waiting for a twist. Like, I oriented myself wrong and didn't take into account the slope of
this. I slipped backwards and then I was like, oh fuck.
A strange little man crawled out of the ground and said, hey, you're shitting on me.
What are you doing to my house? And then he took me to his gnome village where I had a feast of mushroom caps and foxtails, because they eat foxtails. But anyway, so that was my shitting on a mountain story. And then,
beautiful.
And then when I, Boar randomly
stuff
told
of
me,
legend.
Yeah, well, I was going to go to, we were going to Glasgow next, because that was where our next Airbnb was. Mm-hmm. We were just, it's, I don't know if you know how big Scotland and UK is, but Florida is basically bigger. Florida is bigger than Scotland and most of the UK combined. So when you rent a car, you can drive the whole fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty easy.
I driving through Scotland in a rental car is one of my favorite experiences in my entire life.
Oh, it was one of the most fucking terrifying experiences to me, but we'll get into that later. Glasgow. This is where shit got cool, sort of. It's a less touristy town. It's just as big as Edinburgh. In fact, I think there's more people there, but it's not a touristy town for the most part. Except for maybe the food. Boar was like, there's this thing you've got to try.
Yeah, I was randomly doing research on Scottish food, and I was like, I gotta randomly. Find something that Brandon needs to try, right? Like something specific to Scotland that Brandon can find, and I found something called a pizza crunch.
And apparently only it's only made in Glasgow, so I was like, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, it was very convenient that I found this right then.
Come to Glasgow for the pizza crunch.
I thought it would be hard to find. Almost every fish and chip and pizza shop has it in Glasgow.
Yeah, so basically what it is they take like a frozen pizza, and the example that I saw looked like kind of a shitty frozen pizza. Like
they're not
we're talking
the best
like
quality.
Red Baron quality or pizza or
Totino's.
Something. Or Totino's maybe, yeah. Something like that. But they take it while it's still frozen, they cut it in half, they dip it in batter, and then they fry the whole damn thing, and then they serve it to you afterwards.
Repulsive.
It was marvelous. It was great. It was
and it looked like sometimes they would put like vinegar and...
Okay, well, everything there's bottles of brown sauce and malt vinegar everywhere in UK. So
heaven,
I tried it. Yeah, it's a little too much for me. But the pizza crunch,
it's stinky and brown. I'm going to town. Oh wait.
Whoa!
Can't take it back.
I miscalculated.
We're not editing.
Cover your asses.
So if you found my poop in the woods, is what you're saying?
Delicious.
You'd be going to town.
A wonderful pudding-esque treat or ganache-esque treat, as the case may be.
Who left all these nutrients here?
Not going to waste.
Use a straw, one of those filter straws made to drink bacteria water.
Anyway, the pizza crunch was much better than you thought.
It was a crispy fried dough, and it was filled with pizza. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
It sounds delightful to me.
It was good. It was missing something, which I think would have been like pepperoni, something savory. If we made our own with like a pepperoni
the
pizza.
The examples that I saw did have pepperoni, so I'm kind of surprised that you got a cheese only.
I could only find cheese ones there. I couldn't find pepperoni. Now, they have something else called a pizza fry and a pizza crunch. I have no idea what the fuck a pizza fry is.
I would have had to try it all.
I just had a pizza crunch. I don't know what the difference is since they're both fried. Mm. But I didn't ask and I didn't find out.
Maybe they put fries on it before they batter it. And
maybe. Oh, it's just literally fries. Like, why not?
Like actually fries.
But Glasgow does this thing where they also fry a bunch of shit that no one else does. Besides Mars bars, which is really like a touristy thing that they don't eat. They have hot dogs and sausages that they fry. They fry blood sausages and things like that. I only had the pizza crunch, and honestly, that was about 5,000 calories. I'm not exaggerating. I was done eating after that for the rest of the day.
Did they have something that was akin to like a corn dog but with blood sausage on the inside?
No, there was no stick.
They call it a blood dog.
It was literally batter with a sausage in it.
Or maybe
stick.
A corn blood.
You got some corn blood? Yeah. Dude, you know what fucking flapjacks are over there? Me
pancakes?
And Jenica were thinking, no, they're not. Flapjacks over here are, I guess, a type of pancake.
Pancakes, yeah.
Yeah. Over there, a flapjack is a square of oats. And we kept seeing them. And then we finally were like, what the fuck is a flapjack? Why are you guys calling squared oats flapjacks?
Yeah. I've seen that called that. But it was like with that snacking company, Graze.
They would give you
little like granola bar things that were called flapjacks.
So if you go to a place and you order flapjacks, you're not getting pancakes. Just making that clear.
Gotcha. So interesting.
So we had many other exciting things that I don't necessarily need to go into in Scotland, but driving on the left-hand side of the road with someone who oftenly confuses their left and right side is a really fun thing, especially when you've never done roundabouts before. That's cool.
Mm.
So the thing about Scotland is when you're driving on a main road and there's no lights, it's just roundabouts. You're going 60 miles per hour, then there's a roundabout, and then you go through a small town, and then there's five roundabouts, and it's a little crazy. But you get used to it after 5 days.
There were a lot of roundabouts in Spain, but the advantage for me was that they drove on the right side of the road. So
in Scotland,
do they go around the opposite direction?
Yeah, they go left.
Around
everything
roundabout?
Is left, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole UK is the left. The rest of Europe is right, I think.
I mean, roundabouts are circles, so it's more of a counterclockwise, clockwise type of situation.
It's just scary when I'm a passenger and I'm not in control of the car whatsoever. And here's the other scary part. So we ordered a car, like a small car, and they like forgot our confirmation. So we went there or called them the day before. They're like, oh, it's okay. We're going to give you a better car. So we're going to give you an upgrade. They gave us the biggest fucking Volkswagen I've ever seen. It was a boat. It was as wide as
The Volkswagen boat.
It was as wide as 1.5 lanes and the length of 2 cars. And I'm not exaggerating. It was. We were so pissed, and that was all we could get. And within 5 minutes, we hit a cone that exploded because they're made out of plastic. and everyone was
Oh, like hard plastic
yeah,
ones?
And it just shattered, and a construction worker came up to us and was like, seriously? And we're like, well, dude, it's fine. And then we drove off. We didn't hit anything. We didn't hit anything else the rest of the trip. However, one of our plans was to drive completely through the top of this mountainous forest and see some cool things like red deer and like goats and sheep and things like that. The roads were not as wide as our car, and that one road was two-way traffic for like 70 miles.
Wow.
So there were semis with like logs on them, and we either had to reverse or try not to die. And no one would slow down for us. Like
trial by fire.
They're going 60 on that road, yeah. And we're like driving 20, trying not to die. So looking back at it, it was pretty fun. but at the time, I was freaking out and like causing problems. It was like, you're gonna die. We're gonna die. Yeah. So that was fun. We survived driving a giant boat through.
Yeah.
Scotland.
If the roads are anything like they were in Spain, super narrow, probably.
We went all the way.
Luckily, I was in a Nissan Micra, which you can imagine is not as large as the VW boat.
No, we were trying to get something small, like a Chevy Spark. I mean, not, whatever the equivalent is. Like, we were trying to get a small, decent car that we could park anywhere and go.
Right.
But like half the time to get to our Airbnbs, you have to drive down a back alley and then make a sharp 90-degree turn.
Yep.
And it was not happening.
I experienced some of those. It's
great.
We had
to get like the people who own the Airbnb out and like guide us in. Like it was terribly embarrassing, but it was great, you know?
A typical Americans driving a gigantic car.
We had to keep telling everyone we did not want this car. This is all they gave us. And they're like, oh, those people over there at the rental center, they don't give a shit. There was one family that asked us for some reason randomly. They're like, how do you guys support Trump? And we're like, no. Okay, bye.
did they want you to?
No, I don't think so, but okay. We just dropped it right then and there. Funny enough, we went to the UK to get away from fucking American politics, and that's all that was on the TVs everywhere.
Well, we're putting on the best reality show on Earth.
I think it was a way for them to distract from their own shitty politics, because it was on all their stations. It wasn't like American stations. So that was cool. They're
relaxing, kinda, very relaxing.
Yeah, everyone's laughing at us. But anyway... So yeah, we made it to Manchester, which is, you know, in the British part of the UK. I mean, it's all British, but let's be
now,
honest.
Now, so are you a big Joy Division fan, or what exactly brought you to Manchester? Into Manchester United?
I don't know about Joy Division, but I know about Sad Separation. That's the band I like. But I don't like England. It kind of sucks.
You went to Manchester,
great.
Dude.
Yeah.
You didn't go to London.
We also went
you didn't
to,
go to...
No, we also went to a
to
city...
To Brighton.
The first city we got to was Carlisle, and we stayed in a hotel, and the whole town, it's a big town, it all smells like rancid diarrhea from a cow, and there's no farms around. I don't
was
know.
Was this before or after your incident on the mountain?
This is way after. It drifted. It took a few days, but it drifted down to Carlisle, which whenever we told someone it smelled like shit, they're like, oh yeah, Carlisle smells like shit. I was like, oh, yep, mm-hmm. And then we went to Manchester, where we missed like five roundabouts in a row in the airport. The airport is a horrible, horrible, horrible place. We talked to an employee about how horrible it was, and he was like, yep, they just keep building shit without thinking about it. I was like, well, I'm glad you know that too. Horrible system there. Anyway, we got out of Manchester after hanging out with someone, and we had to pick someone up from the airport, and then we drove all the way back to Edinburgh to end our trip.
Uh-huh.
That was the gist of it. We basically went on a road trip from Edinburgh and then went back to Edinburgh to fly out.
You see any castles? You go to any castles, Brandon?
I mean, you're in Scotland. I saw the oldest castle.
Yeah?
It is literally a few steps or a few stones and some grass. That's all that's left. It started... because it was one of the first castles in Scotland, like the 1200s, it started sinking.
Mm.
So they had to move it, and then we went to see the new castle they built, which was pretty cool. There's a lot of castles in Scotland. They're a lot smaller than I thought. They're tiny. They're like a lord's private residence castle, so they're not any bigger than like maybe two or three houses put together.
Yeah.
And they're nice and drafty. The actual castle, the actual huge fucking castle was, you know, in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Edinburgh Castle. Where I drank some great fucking whiskey there, and some
was it
made
this
with like
whiskey.
Yeah, what's it called? Brow? I don't even remember.
Browadar.
Brewadar. It's a honey whiskey, and I know what you're thinking. Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey is disgusting, and you'd be correct. But this this tastes like fresh honey with alcohol in it. It doesn't taste the other way around, and it's absolutely amazing. And I loved it. And obviously, I couldn't bring a giant bottle back on the plane, so I bought a few minis. They do sell an Edinburgh Castle whiskey for about 4,000 pounds.
Wow.
Which I think is like $5,500 or something.
Something to that effect,
so
yeah.
I was using Danica's credit card, and I was like, I'll pay you back. But she wouldn't let me because I was like the end.
Charge it.
Yeah, I thought it would be a nice special memory, but no, she was like, nope. So, but yeah, you know, you've seen castles everywhere, whatever. They're just fucking, if you played video games, you've seen something that looks better than the castles in Scotland.
That's a pro tip right there.
There is nothing great about going to a castle and like touching the stone and looking at it. In about 5 minutes, you're like, yeah, all right, I've seen a castle. And then the magic wears off because you realize there is no magic. It was just a bunch of fucking people who put a bunch of stones together.
Well, castles aren't typically magic, quote unquote.
Exactly. I was really upset. No magic. I didn't see any...
Where did they keep the wizards?
I didn't see any Spriggans or Banshees, even though people talk about them. Nothing.
Well, okay, so you went wandering on Arthur's seat. You defiled a gnome home, and but you didn't say go wandering into the wilds.
No, I did.
Did you now?
Well, let me explain.
Okay.
There's a place called Kelburn Castle.
Uh-huh.
And it's a nice place where this lord of the estate or whatever has a castle once again, and they let artists come in and paint the entire castle, like really cool graffiti shit.
Uh-huh.
And there's like a little village at the base of it with like cafes and tea shops and all that. And there's places with animals. And so you get a map, and some of it's for children. Uh-huh. You're like, yeah, it's a little childlike. A lady gives us a map and she's like, you want to see the real experience? She's like, look at this path. She's like, no, I'm not even... She's like, you walk.
I imagine like a doctor girlfriend type voice.
You want to see the real experience.
You want to see the real experience. So you walk.
You walk in between these animal pens you see on the map. And then like, and then you'll notice the road disappears. And she's like, just follow it. It's a long trail, but it'll lead you to the top. And we're like, okay. I was like, fuck it. What else are we doing the rest of the day? This sounds like fun. So we take the trail and we walk and we walk and we walk. And we got completely lost. We actually... It was a great view. We could see everything. We ended up seeing the ocean and islands. I don't know where we were, but we saw islands and the ocean somewhere on the West Coast.
Huh.
And we got lost for like hours, and we walked around and walked up rickety stairs and found weird like ruins and shit. We ended up finding a house on the top of this mountain surrounded by sheep. And then there was like a four-way path and we had no idea which way to, and we're looking at the map like in every direction, turning upside down. We're not on the map. And it's like this way to this county and this way to like this county. And we don't know where we are. And our GPS doesn't work. And we eventually find a bunch of waterfalls and we find our way back down. But that was probably...
That sounds magical.
It was... I mean, there was no magic involved. It was fun because there weren't other people around.
I hope you didn't go chasing any of those waterfalls.
I stuck to the rivers and the streams that I'm used to.
Good.
But anyway, so the best place we probably went just to get away from everything was Kelburn Castle.
Uh-huh.
So if you go to Scotland and you want to see something amazing, go to Kelburn Castle, and then, you know, you pay to get in this area, and then you fucking ditch it, and you go to the right between the animal enclosures, and you just keep going, and it will lead you to places that most people have not been to in a long time. And it was nice. There's many paths where you walk along like tree branches and there's ropes there, and we just thought we're gonna die. There's no way we're supposed to do this. They're like little bridges over falling tree branches.
Okay.
With like ropes holding you on so you don't die. Like these long horizontal ropes. We went down some of them and realized there's a sign that said, do not use this, after we already did and had to go back. And it just ends with horrible, horrible falls into death. Like, because we were really fucking high up at that point. Like, you could look down and see just nothing but slopes and rocks without end.
Dig it.
So that was cool.
Just jagged rocks.
So that was basically the high point. Mm-hmm. That and shitting on a mountain.
Yeah, no kidding.
Some people tell it on a mountain. I shit on a mountain. You can tell on the mountain after I shit on the mountain. Step in my shit. But yeah, that was my Scottish experience. There's
well done.
I mean, they do lots of cool shit that I wish we had. There's everything has a tea room and a full bar.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
Yeah.
We went to a hut in the middle of the mountains because it was a little cafe. Full bar, tea room. We went to a clothing store. It's like downstairs, go to the tea room. There's a tea room downstairs and a full bar. You go to a normal restaurant, there's a full bar. Their liquor license obviously is completely different than ours.
Yeah.
Their beer and liquor's not... Yeah. literally everything had a full bar. You go to a coffee shop, there's a full bar. They're fucking alcoholics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my opinion of the culture of the United Kingdom is I feel and this is, I think, also
it's
true.
It's cold and rainy all the time. What else are you going to do?
Drink? I just mean it's engineered to promote alcoholism because everything closes down as soon as it gets dark.
Yeah, and you got to keep people pacified.
So legitimately, the only thing there is to do is drink.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go out and do something.
But I do like that we went to like a Birds of Prey center over there because we randomly saw it on a map and like, let's go visit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. It was like.
And there was a full bar and a tea room.
Well, there actually was no full bar, but there was a huge tea room restaurant in the Birds of Prey center. So you can get tea and it's run by the woman who owns and runs the whole place because it's like a private collection of Birds of Prey. And they have breeding programs for like conservation, shit like that. So you're just drinking tea outside, like surrounded by all these like. Falcons and peregrines and shit like that. So that was cool.
Cool. Yeah.
So, you know,
isn't a peregrine a type of falcon?
It's a peregrine falcon, yeah. But they have okay. many types of falcons and hawks and things. So I immediately took pictures and sent them to the Birds of Prey Center here going, this is what you fucking need. You need a tea room.
Also, what they fucking need is to get you back on board because you're a bird entrepreneur and clearly have command over the over the falcons.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday. But I can't remember much more information about my Scottish trip.
Okay, well, hey.
I mean, there's more that's happened, but nothing crazy.
If you think of any brilliant stories to share, just interrupt whatever the fuck we're doing for the rest of the episode. Because that's... How are we going to top that?
What did I miss I was gone for 2 weeks? What happened to the country?
Boy.
I heard I flew away to escape a hurricane. And then another one happened. So...
we were completely safe from it.
What I have looked recently is that Hurricane Michael that just destroyed a shit ton of stuff is now actually it's getting stronger. It's supposedly going to get stronger and it's heading straight towards the UK. So our friend in Scotland, like it's heading towards them from the latest projections. So we're like, we left and we have sent you this hurricane. Good luck. They've got castle walls. They'll be fine. But
okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's the other, I just remembered something. Let me go on a fucking rant. Sort of. How the hell?
By all means.
I don't know how we're going to stop you.
How the hell did such a small place conquer most of the world? We drove through the entire UK in like a couple hours. How does something half the size of Florida...
Technological differences?
I mean, I guess, but oh my God. Like one of our states is bigger than the UK. It's insane, the amount of size.
But the sun didn't set on the British Empire.
There's not even that many people. In the country, when we were driving through Scotland, we went through so many small villages, and they're literally like a minute in length.
And you also have to keep in mind that they didn't have the internet, so back then, you know, you didn't have a lot to do, so you might as well go out and conquer shit. Kind of like when I was in Spain, I was like, wow, this is some really great stonework. How did they have the time? Oh, yeah, they didn't have the internet, so they just played with rocks a lot until they got these cool cathedrals.
Are you saying cat videos are distracting us from technological advances?
Exactly. We could be conquering.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
You're right. Where is the sequel to Conker's Bad Fur Day? I don't know. We should be conquering right now.
You need to ask Rare.
I don't think Rare's even a real company anymore. Prove me otherwise. Okay. Well, Bor, what have you been up to?
Cheddars.
Yeah. No, I haven't been back to Cheddars.
I'll drop the Cheddar shit. I'm sorry.
No, I've been writing down what I've been doing. So
yeah.
let me just get that out. Last weekend, what I did was I actually worked out in my buddy's garage with Tobin and PJ and Squee. sorry, I'm getting a little choked up about this. I've been writing down all this stuff and I grabbed the wrong these aren't my calendars. I forgot. I don't really like to write things down. I usually put it on my phone. Where did I get those calendars from? Never mind. No, I haven't been up to too much. I've still been playing lots of Spider-Man and I kind of gave up on World of Warcraft. That new expansion is...
Congrats. You did not give up on World of Warcraft.
Temporarily.
Let's not go crazy here.
But the new expansion, it's very anti having multiple characters. Like, you have to put a shitload of time into one character, and if you want to have multiple, it's just like a huge treadmill. Like, it's like getting on an escalator that's going the wrong direction. basically. So I usually like to have about four or five different characters for different things. You know, like I like to have one that's really good at tanking, one that's really good at healing, a heavy DPS character, and then maybe, you know, just some others to be able to play different types of characters. But to be able to gear them up and get them into like the higher end content, they incrementally reward you.
Hey, let's back up. What the hell is a DPS character? I was trying to come up with
damage per second.
Oh,
so like slow ticks or
damage? Yeah, damage characters.
A double penetration.
That's even that's a thing sausage. In D&D, isn't it? So
I don't know actually. Dungeon I don't play D&D. I ain't no fucking nerd.
It's like
we moved on from actual Dungeons and Dragons when we were playing Dungeons and Doritos by our third episode. So,
gotcha.
I've seen the D&D 80s cartoon.
I just thought that was a widely known concept.
You know, I'm not one of those math role players. I just do the thing.
I mean, I only know it because I play a shit ton of video games.
Okay, so anyway, what happened was I found a way that I thought that I could gear up my character very quickly. Because there's these monsters that would drop really high level gear. So I was like, okay, I'll just level up a new character and I'll go, you know, farm that gear for a little while. And then I can gear up pretty fast and, you know, do the other, like the higher level content with this character. And that'll be awesome. Because normally the first time through, and if you don't know what you're doing, or I think actually at the beginning, this zone that dropped all this stuff wasn't even there when the expansion first came out, so I had to go through dungeons, and they made it so like world quests and dungeons give you slightly better gear than you're wearing, but not like a fixed level that you can just get a high level piece of gear from. So it's kind of like they just give you out tiny little rewards.
That's
over
what Destiny
like
does.
A really yeah it's
that
a lot like
what Destiny
it's
does.
Exactly like
you might
Destiny
get something
is.
With like 1 point higher, but you're not gonna get anything super good,
right? Exactly. Like world quests, they give you gear that once you get past a certain threshold, it'll like upgrade the gear, and then you'll be able to get slightly better stuff.
You'll be doing a little bit better in
that. And I hate that because it just
so you're not a fan of Destiny.
It takes forever to get higher level, and it just doesn't feel very rewarding if you're getting something that's just like a tiny bit better. So anyway, I thought I found this new avenue of getting gear fast. So I got the my Death Knight up to the highest level, and I took him straight over to this other area, and he's the type of character that can kill things that are like way stronger than him, because like he takes a lot of damage. He's a tank character. So I was able to take down these really large mobs that I shouldn't probably have been able to take down, but I was like, you know, it was a little bit more work, but the
reward was supposed to be,
it was supposed to be great, but they don't drop anything unless you're a certain eye level, like unless your gear is a certain level,
they
won't drop anything.
By the time
you
get to that, it's like, why do I need this to fight them anymore? By the
time
you get to that level,
exactly. So
that you work really hard on a character that can specifically take down these guys, and you put effort into it, but then there's no point in taking them down.
Right. My higher gear level character could take these same things down and got the rewards that he doesn't need. And then, like, this lower level character, like, couldn't get... It pissed me off to the point where I was like, fuck it, I'm done.
Damn.
And I canceled my subscription. Cause
whoa! That's big coming from you.
Not really. I do it all the time. Like, if you know,
like
I want a break, or I'm getting bored or whatever, I'll take breaks for a few months. But a lot of people are complaining about... issues with World of Warcraft right now.
You know they're just going to make another patch or expansion that changes everything again.
No, they're actually being really belligerent, and they're not listening to feedback at all. And they're just kind of saying like, oh, you're just not enjoying the game right.
You're not enjoying it right. We made this for users. Because
they added all these new these new content types. Like there's this new content type called Island Expeditions that are procedurally generated content, where it'll just randomly make like an island and populate it with certain shit. And
like Minecraft does it.
You and three other characters have to go against a three character team of like NPCs that are acting like players. And
why don't they just have another team of players
at the highest level? That's what it is. It's like a player versus player thing, but it's mind-numbingly boring, and they expect you to do this all the time. And I don't know. They've made a lot of really stupid decisions. Specifically, like, there's another system in place where they have this Azurite gear, which is like three pieces of your armor are going to be this Azurite gear. And you have to customize it with, it's got different powers that you can unlock in it. And then they made it really expensive if you want, like, if you made a mistake and you want to undo the unlocks. So, like, there's one type of character you can have be a DPS and a healer, for instance. So, if you found, a super high-level helmet, for example, and you unlocked all the powers for healing, and then you're like, shit, I need to actually do DPS. So, it's going to cost a shitload of money for you to, unlock the powers.
Would it be easier just to get another helmet and redo it instead of unlock the...
Yes.
To reverse it?
Yeah. It is, but sometimes, drops are so rare... That you might end up
helmet ever.
Yeah, you might have to settle for a much lower level helmet for your other spec. And there's so many things like that where in previous expansions they were getting rid of a lot of these things to make it easier so you could play the game the way that you wanted and not have to carry around multiple sets of gear and stuff like that. And they sort of said, all right, fuck all that. We're going to revert back to this awful.
How long has World of Warcraft been around for at this point? 15 years?
I want to say since 2005. So,
there's 13. Literally, nothing new they can come up with at this. They've done everything.
I mean...
And I'm hoping that they're being slack...
2004.
I'm hoping they're slacking on World of Warcraft because they're making the Diablo game that I want right now. So I'm hoping they're just putting all their time and effort into that. The isometric MMO that I've wanted for, my whole life. But I will say Final Fantasy 14 is what... I like their class and character leveling system a lot better because you can just have one character and it can be just as hard and long to level up a specific class like it is in Warcraft.
Yeah, and then let you do some cool stuff like dual classing.
Yeah, but then you can take that same character and be like, okay, I'm going to automatically hit a button to switch to another class and just work on that one. And so it's one character, but you can switch between different types.
Yeah.
So you only have to worry about that one character's levels and then the class level later instead of creating an all new fucking character.
Yeah.
Just to find out that he sucks later on or you don't like him. So that I think they do way better. I played that a lot.
Yeah. But I played that too.
But like everything else is MMO, I get bored eventually with the dungeon grind at the end. I like soloing MMOs and the end games are never for solo players.
Nope.
So once I get to the end game of MMOs, I'm like, okay, I've done it. Bye. I've reached my goal. I don't want to find a group of 40 people unless they have a random generator that links me with
World of Warcraft does have
like
that
a party finder. Thank God. And I know that it sucks for a lot of people. You really need people that know what they're doing so they don't kill your whole party.
It's actually an easier version of all the end game content, so it kind of compensates for the idiots that you'll undoubtedly get.
I hate joining guilds, and that's how you're supposed to do it because then they expect you to be on and you
get
talk to them.
They get way too serious about stuff.
And I'm like, I play casually, so I'm not going to be on every day to fucking talk to you.
This one guild, this guild that I joined, I don't know, a while back, I had been running raids with them, doing the end game content with them for, I don't know, a few months. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just join up with you guys. And they're like, okay, cool. Go to this website and fill out this long form. And then we'll have a meeting about it and then let you in.
And then we have a chat.
The initiation ceremony shall begin.
I was like, are you fucking serious?
I was like, you just ban me if you don't like me. Just let me join. We're going to do some shit.
Yeah. So I don't know. I used to run a World of Warcraft guild, but it was infinitely more casual than that.
Guild Wars 2 was great. I miss that game.
It's still around.
I know.
And if you ever played it, there's no subscription, so just log in and play it.
My computer purposely does not.
I logged in and played it for a little while recently, and I was like, wow, I remember why I left.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we talked a lot about video games.
You sure did.
For a minute.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another video game real quick that's a year old that has no relevance.
Are we going to talk about the one we played?
You have, if you have PS4 right now this month, there's a couple of games for you. One is actually really good. It's a point.
Not the one we played.
No. Well, the first game that you can download is called ROM 2064. It's called 2064 Read-Only Memories. It's a steampunk point-and-click NES game, but it's several gigs big and it's huge and it's
that
great.
Sounds exciting.
There's a lot of reading, so if you like that and clicking on things and watching fake TV commercials and shit, it's really cool. The other game was interesting for a little bit. It's the Friday the 13th game, which I've always wanted to try, but there was no way in hell I was spending money on it.
Yeah.
It's a little glitchy and buggy.
A little.
You know, when Jason picks up a counselor and once goes to punch his head off, but the character's already like all the way down there.
So wait, we should back up and explain the game just a little bit.
Friday the 13th multiplayer game.
Yeah. So we were playing this Friday the 13th multiplayer game, and what it basically breaks down to is you have teams of like, what, 8 or 9 people?
They're all counselors. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody is a camp counselor, except for one player is randomly picked to be Jason. And there's different win scenarios where like they just kind of throw everybody randomly into this campground. And then there's all these cabins around that are filled with shit. And then there's also cars that all for some reason.
There's
don't.
Only like 4 ways to win.
Yeah.
You can escape by car, which requires someone to carry a heavy ass gas can, find the keys, and find a battery, and they're all like use minigames to start the car.
All of the cars don't have batteries in them. They or gas. They are or all keys. Completely drained of gas, and the keys are scattered to the wind somewhere
else. You can
also
escape by boat, which is the exact same thing, but without the keys.
Well, do you then have to go directly to Manhattan and fight Jason in the sewers? Because but wait till midnight, because at midnight the sewers fill with toxic waste?
The whole time I was looking for a Voorhees. So I could finally kill him.
And then the only other 2 ways is you can somehow call the cops. I don't know how. And then wait 5 minutes.
Cops ain't gonna stop Jason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because even when the cops show up, Jason still kills you unless you run towards the cop car, which is like at an exit anyway. And then, but he is so overpowered that if you get in a car, he can sense it. He can teleport anywhere on the map wherever he wants
with no cooldown. He can just teleport.
People driving away, he'll just teleport in front of the car. And then you drive into him, crashes the car, and he just pulls you out and starts killing
you. Yeah, if you hit Jason with a car, the car takes damage. Jason does not.
Yeah. You run out of stamina, and the more scared you are, your stamina drains faster. So if
the stamina that you have, you can run about 10 feet, and then your character is tired.
And then he teleports, and your character's face, which is hilarious, like his jaw drops and eyes bulge, and then you run out of stamina again, and you cannot escape.
The problem isn't so much that Jason is overpowered. It's that...
Yeah, because what you're describing sounds extremely accurate.
It's like fighting a god.
But the
It is like fighting a god.
The biggest problem, though, is that your characters don't feel like they have the powers of a human.
Yeah, they're subhuman. If Jason is even running after you and your character sees him, you automatically just start walking.
There's like a fear mechanic that if Jason is nearby, your character just kind of turns into a noodle.
Or if there's no lights around because he's like destroyed like the lights in the cabin. There was this thing where we tried where we're like, okay, four.
Yeah, there's like a timer. There's like a countdown timer.
Like a
and we thought, oh, if you can just survive this timer without Jason murdering you, because he also can sense you wherever you fucking are.
Well, if you make any noises or start running or are scared, he has a button you can press where he can look around and just see like red things moving anywhere. Or right. Look on the map and see you.
Yeah, so if you're like, making any noise or moving at all, he can see you.
Unless you're crouching, which is really
slow.
I
had the idea. I was like, Brandon, I'm going to get in this cabinet and just... I'm going to wait this thing out.
And so I found Boar, which is stupid. We were in the same party, but I can't see where he is on the map. You don't even have a map, Bio. You have a mini map, but it didn't tell me where Boar was. So
for some reason, all the counselors can see where each other are. And during this particular match, I got in a cabinet, and you can see through like a keyhole. So I could see what was going on in the room.
Like a little bit.
I could see a little bit of what was going on. And Brandon had this weird afro, and he was just kind of like running around with a machete in the room.
Oh, I was gonna guard him. I was like, if Jason comes, like, you don't move. I will like try to get him away as long as one of us
survives. And then like for some reason all the other camp counselors decided they're all gonna converge on my location,
and they're all running in circles like attracting Jason.
So Jason shows up and I'm like, go away, you asshole.
And you can customize Jason if you get levels. So this person's like, you can tell when he's close because they play like the actual copy music. This fucker had an 8-bit version from like the NES game. So every time he got close, it like the
and
NES
he was like shiny
version.
Purple.
Oh yeah, and he was wearing a purple suit and like green boots, and it was just the 8-bit music would play, and it was kind of creepy. But
yeah, because that's the like whatever it was. That's, I believe, the pixel representation of Jason in that game were those colors.
Yeah. So here's the problem.
I think.
And also Jason can just Kool-Aid man through walls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there are some breakaway walls in the house, but the only way he can get into a house is through a door. He can't go through windows like you can. So here's what happened. Jason comes through a door, and I wait for him to get almost to me. and then I jump through the window.
Yeah, he jumps through the window.
And then I just stare at him. And he just looks at me. And he starts trying to throw knives, because I guess he can pick up knives. And I just move a little to the side. And then he starts walking back out through the door. And then he comes around the house. And I jump back through the window. And I'm like...
And the other counselors are still running around. So yeah. Through this keyhole, I'm watching Brandon jump through windows. And he also murdered a couple of counselors right in front of the keyhole.
And I didn't care. I was... Yeah. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this till the timer runs out and we're going to survive. He can't get to me if I jump back and forth through the window. Little did I know that the windows, once you destroy them, are covered with little shards of glass. And every time you jump through them, you take a little bit of damage. And so
Brandon's just slowly killing himself, yeah, jumping through the window.
There's no health meter, so I didn't know. And then, like, after 20 times, when Jason came after me, I jumped through the window, and Jason's staring there. And then I just fell on the grass and died. And he's just looking at me and then walks away. And then by the time, like, after, like, 15, 16 minutes or whatever... Boar's still in the cabinet.
Everyone is watching everybody die outside.
Everyone is spectating him, which is actually I actually really think it's fun to spectate rather than play. Spectating is hilarious. So I'm watching Boar, like, through his eyes, through the keyhole, as Jason knows he's in the cabin somehow, but doesn't know where.
He was just walking back and forth. He destroyed a bed because he thought I was hiding under a bed.
So he destroys the bed, because if you kill someone while they're hiding, it's an instant kill. And so he's, like, destroying the beds, can't find him. He knows he's there, but he doesn't know where. And I keep seeing the symbol when someone's trying to talk on their mic. And we're in, like, a dedicated chat room, so we can't hear anyone else.
Yeah.
And so eventually, like, with 30 seconds left, I think he found you.
Yeah. In that particular match, we didn't make it to the timer. So yeah. Jason found, like, he figured out that I was in this cabinet.
Well, and he destroyed everything else.
And he axed the cabinet right into my face.
And killed him.
And killed me. So then the next round, I was like, all right, I need to make this cabinet thing work, because I got really close last time. So I do it again. And this time, not everybody, like, converges on my location. And I actually survived the
timer. I think I died in, like, the first 10 seconds somehow.
You died really fast.
It was really annoying.
So I'm hiding in a cabinet for another round. But luckily this time, everybody didn't draw Jason right to me.
Oh, didn't three people get in a car and try to escape while you were hiding? And so he was working on them for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah. Something like that was going on. I think you were narrating what was going on.
Yeah, I was like, hey, here's what's happening. These guys are getting in the car. Oh, he's pulling someone out of the car. Shit.
This time, nothing happened in front of my people.
They all were the same character with the same, like, track suits. They were all just running. They were all running in circles around Jason as he tried to grab them for, like, 10 minutes. But it
turns out if you survive the timer, you lose.
Yeah, that's a timer you have to escape. If you don't escape, you die. So for several matches, we were trying to survive for 20 minutes, but you can't. You have to either call the cops, escape by boat, escape by car. And the thing that is really stupid is that I actually got a boat working. I found the gas. I found the propeller. I got it working. And then another person clicked on it before me. And they got in the back. And I was so pissed. I was like, I spent all this time. And as they were driving away, there was, like, one more space in the front that I noticed I could click on. So we're both in the boat. And then all of a sudden, Jason just appears in the water. He's just swimming in the water in front of us because he can teleport. And, like, this is fucking bullshit. He just grabs the boat, throws us overboard.
That's so good.
And then we both get back in. And this one bitch who stole my boat is now just driving in a circle. The exit's right in front of us. And she's driving in a circle. Jason knocks us over, drowns us immediately. There's literally nothing you can do when Jason's on to you. He can teleport short distances. That's another skill too, like 30 feet in front of him.
Okay, here's my observations from this. It sounds like you're complaining, but it sounds actually more like you had an amazing time.
Here's the thing. It is not fun to play at all.
No.
It is hilarious.
The stories are way better than the actual gameplay.
Yeah. Spectating is fun.
Because you're like, oh, I found all these weapons. Let's hit Jason. And then, like,
your weapon breaks on him.
Right.
Which, one of the ways to survive is you can kill Jason. I don't know how. But if you get everyone
together...
Well,
one of the things is, like, if you find a CB, if somebody's already, like, dead and spectating, you call somebody on the CB and then you show up as Tommy...
No, isn't it like Johnny Travis or something? Someone with a shotgun.
Tommy Travis or something.
I'm not enough of a Friday the 13th buff to tell you what that is.
Anyway, you get summoned back as this guy with a shotgun, right? Uh-huh. And so you're like, all right, I got a shotgun. I have a chance against Jason. The shotgun has one shot. And it's nowhere near enough to kill him.
And you shoot Jason.
So after you shoot him, he's stunned for, like, a very short period of time.
Down.
Yeah, whatever. But you don't have another weapon.
It's one use.
So you can
away.
Shoot him.
Do you have
and then you better run away.
Do you have an inventory?
Yeah, there's like three small item slots, and then you can only carry. And then besides that, you have one big item slot, which is either a gun, any weapon, or a gas can.
Or a battery.
If you're holding a gas can, you can't have a weapon. The three item slots are just like firecrackers for distraction, or like a pocket knife to get loose. But the items you need to escape are all heavy, and you can only carry one at a time, unless you want a machete or a baseball bat, which breaks after a few hits anyway. And then he just grabs you and murders you.
Yeah, he has like one bit button to kill you.
I played for about 2 hours, and I wasn't Jason once. I was really. I don't know how you get to be him.
You're obviously having enough fun to say, "Hey, download this game and play with me."
Well, I wanted someone else to try it. It was really fun because I haven't played a game like that before. I know there's a few other types of games similar to that that are way better on PC. But I was having fun for a little bit, and then after 2 hours, I was not having fun for a little bit, and I was like, fuck this. And I was when you start having more fun spectating the game than playing it, you know there's a problem with the game. So I was having more fun watching people run away and being stupid. Like, and your character's trip, like in a horror movie. If you're running away from Jason, who's right behind, his slow walk is faster than your run.
This sounds,
and you just start tripping.
See, all these complaints, I'm like, this is so good. This sounds
so authentic.
You need
to come over and play it. Okay. You need to come over and play it.
Okay.
And you, after like two games, you'd be like, this is fucking bullshit. There's no way to do this. So
it would not take long for you to get frustrated with it.
You can literally teleport in front of your car from the map, and then once you crash into him, the car is dead. And then you have to try to start it back up again. But if he's onto you, your character gets slow and he can just keep teleporting 20 feet to get to you. There's no way to escape once he knows where you are. That's it. Like,
beautiful.
Once he knows where you are, that's it.
It.
Unless you have like three sets of firecrackers, which he just looks at and goes, huh, and just stands there. Even that, if you get like a 20-second head start, he then knows which direction you're in, clicks on the map, and just teleports, and then he can see your fear looking in any direction. There's no way to escape. Unless someone else has built a, like, if he's distracted by you and someone else has repaired a car, then you try to run and find that car and get in before they escape. That's the only way.
That sounds amazing.
Distract
Jason
like while you do the dirty work.
Well, hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show.
We're done?
We're not done. We're not done. This is just me saying that all this program and all the programs on the Nerdy Show Network are entirely listener supported, and you should head to patreon.com/nerdyshow and join in, help contribute. Even a dollar makes a big difference. We've got a lot of perks available. You can also give us a one-time donation at nerdyshow.com/support. We do feature advertising, but that doesn't make half as much as the things we need to steadily survive. If we get that Patreon money from you folks, that we know that we are secure, that we can continue to exist as an independent nerd outlet of fun shenanigans such as this. We've got some big things coming up. I'm happy to say that next Wednesday, instead of an episode of Nerdy Show, you're getting the debut episode of Call of Cthulhu Series 2, The Terrible Secret of Lot X.
Wow. Am I in that one?
You're not in that one.
Am I in that one?
You are in that one.
Oh.
No, still.
And I'm in that one. And Brandon, if everything goes according to plan, you're going to be in Series 3.
Oh, we'll see about that.
We will see about that. You haven't replied to my emails because you don't.
Oh,
do
you
that.
Send me. I have 30,000 emails that I haven't read in like 10 years.
I know.
I'll search for all cap emails.
In your defense, you were in Scotland when I was sending them, and I knew you wouldn't be receiving them right away.
Even if I wasn't in Scotland, I wouldn't be receiving.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
Anyway, Call of Cthulhu Series 2 is finally here, and that's all thanks to you fine folks who've supported us on Patreon. I'm not gonna lie, the series cost hundreds of dollars to produce. We spent a lot of money on it.
The first and the second combined, or just the second?
Just the second, because the first was a fan-funded effort, so you folks paid us to create it. So we had a budget for that. This one we have just outright spent money on. That's thanks to Patreon, but currently on Patreon, for a while we were making more than what it costs to run the show, or run the network, actually, to run the whole network. But these days, times are pretty tight. So if you do love Call of Cthulhu and other programs like Call of Cthulhu, which is our big forthright focus here on as a network right now, is doing these audio drama experiences, then we will definitely need all the support we can get from you folks on Patreon. If you dig what we do, please go to patreon.com/nerdyshow or nerdyshow.com/support. Or go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon, where you can follow our Amazon links and buy shit on Amazon.
Or
including
just send a check in the mail. shove it under our doors if you know where we live. Just money. Just fat stacks of cash.
I guess I won't say no to that, but don't get creepy.
Get creepy if it involves money.
You could go to Amazon. You could buy the latest edition of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game, or you could pre-order the new Call of Cthulhu video game that looks amazing. It's a big year for Call of Cthulhu. So anyhow, hope you check that out. Go to CthulhuMystery.com, subscribe to it, and look forward to that being an ongoing series that we do here on Nerdy Show, and ideally taking much less than a year per season to come out, if everything goes according to plan. But those plans are made easier by money that you're spending on us, because that means that I won't have to focus on all of the day jobs so very much as this show. Anyway, what else has been going on? Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That is a great way to get new listeners into the show, and new listeners mean more support, and more support means more programming. And that is a wonderful thing.
Is Star Wreck coming out next week too?
Star Wreck is coming out early 2019, and that's been...
Well, hey, before Game of Thrones, so that's fine.
Oh, hey, awesome.
Exactly.
Hey, if we can beat George R.R. Martin, I don't feel so bad. Star Wreck has taken far, far too long to come out, and obviously we prioritize Cthulhu in front of it because it is what it is. Star Wreck is a special. Cthulhu is, well, a confirmed hit. So so we did prioritize that. And I'm sorry, but it is going to be awesome when it happens. And Brandon and Boar are both in it. We're all in it. And you guys are hilarious.
I try to be.
You're great. You're great. Look forward.
I think I tried too hard.
Hey, I don't remember that one. It was so long ago.
Michael Dorn.
Brandon played Michael Dorn, a Klingon security officer. And Boar, you played 9 to 5.
The Korg.
Yeah, one of the Korg. And you're the engineer.
Yeah.
That sounds like you, just in general. So.
And of course, in our version of Star Wreck, which is a parody of not just okay. So oh gosh, okay. So this is a parody
of the Orville.
Star.
That's what we intended it to be.
Yeah, Star Wreck, which was recorded before the Orville even existed.
We knew. We have insider information.
It didn't even exist. It was not a gleam in its daddy's eye. So Star Wreck is a parody of Star Trek that was created by someone from Europe. I forget what part, Norwegian, perhaps?
That sounds right.
In the early 90s. And then that parody, which is a series of videos you can watch on YouTube, was turned into a tabletop role-playing game, which was requested by us in a support drive years upon years ago. And so we recorded a session, but in our version of Star Wreck, and I don't think there's a lot of stuff we haven't said about Star Wreck because we were keeping it under wraps, but here's just a little taste of what's to come. Our version of Star Wreck, because we didn't want to be beholden to a bunch of continuity we don't know, is the J.J. Abrams reboot of Star Wreck. So therefore, the engine of our particular P-Fleet vessel is like the engine of...
Oh, right.
The Enterprise in the J.J. Abrams one. So it's a brewery, yeah. So 9 to 5 is constantly working on his microbrews.
It's not a spore drive. Okay.
A spore drive? Oh, it's
from Discovery.
Discovery, yeah.
Spoilers.
Kind of.
I don't care.
Like, for 3 episodes in, I don't think
hey,
so.
Hey, Star Trek Online
maybe
is now...
Maybe the sequel, we can have a Borg drive.
Star Trek Online is now featuring... Discovery content, just in case you want to pick up
what
Star Trek the MMO Online is now featuring Discovery content.
Oh, I'm good.
In case you want to download that shit.
That MMO was hot trash when it first came out.
It was garbage. I tried to get through the opening tutorial and I never picked it up again. But hey, enough about MMOs. How about some quick TV news that nobody asked for?
All right.
I asked for it, and so I'm going to fucking tell you. You remember that amazing show, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law?
I sure do.
Well, it's fucking coming back for one night only. By the time you've recorded this, it's probably already aired.
And you can probably get it on Amazon via our Amazon link.
I think it's just one special.
I thought you were going to say, like, Harvey Birdman on ice.
Well, it's called Harvey Birdman, Attorney General now. And what happens, and it's the same voice cast, Stephen Colbert, all of them, Phil Ken Sabin, his crazy boss, becomes president of the United States and launches a nuke. that will come back and hit Washington within 24 hours because he's insane.
And Harvey has recused himself.
No, he hires Harvey to try to get himself impeached because he's the only one who can stop the nuke, and he won't do it because he's crazy. So he hires Harvey to get him impeached so someone can stop the nuke. And Harvey at the end of the trailer is just like, I'll take the case. And that's it. It looks fucking great. I don't know where they get this story from. Crazy.
What will they come up with next?
Yeah, I don't know where they got that. So that's airing. Well,
it's
already
out,
aired
out by the time you listen to this.
And I cannot wait.
What else is happening?
Okay. Oh, here, Iron Fist was canceled.
Yeah.
So here's what pisses me off about it. And I might go on a little tangent. Iron Fist season one.
Did you watch season one and season two all
yes.
the way? Okay.
Season one, whatever. Maybe a necessary evil to propel the plot, you know, for Defenders and all that shit to get the character set up. Nobody likes season one.
Except for...
Well, season two...
You liked it.
Right? I thought it was all right,
It's, I didn't hate it, but I thought it was just mediocre.
I just thought a lot of people were complaining about stupid things.
Yes, like, he's white, not Asian.
He's not fighting,
well, that's how it is in the
he's not Asian.
Well, they fixed most of the problems, not everything, but they fixed most of the problems in season two.
I liked season two a
season
lot.
Season two was fucking great. The choreography was amazing. They actually worked on it this time. The fighting scenes
dope.
Were
okay.
great. The
like
acting
a lot
was better.
Of, a lot of the fighting was fucking... It was Misty and Colleen and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they were doing a great job.
You're singing my song. Now, I'm really behind on the Netflix Marvel shows, but if Misty Knight is one of my favorite Marvel street-level characters.
She's in a lot, most of the show.
Yeah.
Too. It's amazing.
But here's the thing. Without getting into spoilers, because I know you haven't seen it, the end of season two sets up a lot of, like, WTF moments that
right.
has to lead into a season three. Like, you have
yeah,
to
they
know
do,
why
they do
this
one
happens.
Of these. They do, like, a time jump. They're, like, 3 months later. And then they show all this crazy shit.
And
then you're like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see what happens.
The dynamic
this
of the
looks
show,
great.
The dynamic of this show, by the time you hit the last episode, has drastically changed. The dynamic between Colleen and Danny Rand has drastically changed. And things will never be the same. And then they canceled the show. And what they've now, by the time you're listening to this, there's probably more info released online. Maybe you know why it was canceled. They, you know, maybe kind of low ratings and all that shit. But the story is going to end, but the characters will still be in Defenders. But
right.
it doesn't make sense given what happens at the end. Who will be in Defenders? Both of them in Defenders? Or what the story of Danny Rand, because he's not in the same country anymore? What that, how they're going to conclude that? Or if he's just going to show up and be like, hey guys, I'm back.
I heard a theory. Which is not really, again, not related to spoilers, and that is that they're going to pivot the show into new branding so that it's more appealing to people, and it'll be Heroes for Hire, which is the team, the street level team
that
makes most sense.
That would be great. That would be awesome.
Well, the thing that doesn't make sense is, well, I guess it does make sense. If you watch the end of season two and then you Google, like, what the fuck was that, 90% of what happened is from characters and things in the comics they didn't get to, but we're about to.
Right.
In the next season, they're looking for this guy who's in the comics, and he's the reason Danny can do this weird thing at the end of the season, and like all this shit. But that story is supposedly ended, which makes no sense. And I don't want to tell you what they do at the end, but it's crazy.
It is weird because I feel like it was not very long after the debut of season two, and I mean, who knows?
Here's the thing that doesn't make sense to me is that
they kept Jessica Jones, but they got rid of Iron Fist.
Here's the thing: sequel seasons have not been that great. I mean, I think their best show is Daredevil, and the second season of every Marvel show on Netflix has not been that great, in my opinion. It's been okay. It's been good. Maybe better than average, but it's not great.
I don't know. Luke Cage was pretty good.
It was good, but I think it dragged in the second half of the second season. But the point is, Disney, Marvel, all them peeps, they have more than enough money that if a show is not doing that well, they can still make another season to keep it up for continuity's sake. They did it with the cinematic universe. Ant-Man wasn't the best, greatest movie, box office-wise or whatever.
It performed pretty well. It surpassed expectations. That's why there was a sequel.
Expectations, but not all their movies did great, but they still make sequels because it furthers the story and they look at the bigger picture. The thing with Iron Fist is even if it didn't do that great, the second season did a lot, hell of a lot better. It was getting better. And they have more than enough money to spend on a third season without even seeing a dent in their checkbook. Just to continue the continuity. There's no reason, even if it was a failing show, they could have just kept going with it. Maybe switched up the writers.
I mean, I'm not informed enough on this particular situation because I haven't watched Iron Fist any season to back this up, but I feel like there's a certain possibility that the cancellation is maybe like they were always intending to pivot it into something else, like, but not specifically branded
it
as Iron
Fist. It looks
like
a surprise. You need to watch
the second
season.
It sounds like they're building into another team show, and which would make Heroes
not
for Hire make
Defenders?
Sense. Not the Defenders? Not the Defenders, because the Defenders is a different animal.
Except
yeah,
that Daniel Ryan is
I would love
to be
it
the
if
Defenders.
They did that. And that would make me really happy, especially the way that season two went. It would lead into
his brother,
something like that, a little bit better.
Danny Rand's like drug addict brother becomes like one of my favorite characters in the second season.
Ward.
He's great. Yeah. And I just like his acting and his character. But yeah, watch the second season when you have free time. Never. Watch
yeah.
It.
Well, here's the thing. I've been working on a lot of projects. I've been like, I'm so
yeah,
I'm
ignore
so
ignore all of those. Ignore
I,
them.
I cannot. It's
spend
it is
6 hours watching the entire season.
It is crazy.
Season.
Now, I'm happy to say that in spite of having, I think maybe the most extreme workload that I've ever had, because it's literally impossible for me to do all the things I'm supposed to be doing. I'm still loving life. Everything's great. But
no time for fun.
Yesterday I took half the day off, so that was cool. I got a sunburn, so that's fun.
Where'd you go? What'd you do?
I went to
to
a spring. Yeah. Florida's natural springs are the number one most valid attraction in the entire state of Florida. And if you come to Florida for a vacation and don't visit a natural spring, you're missing out.
I went to Gainesville to watch a butterfly eat a banana.
That's cool.
We'll post this video on the page.
No, we won't.
I'll send it to you. You can post the video.
Why don't you post it yourself?
I saw the video, and I can confirm that a butterfly does eat a banana.
Well, there may or may not be a video confirming.
Some great museums in Gainesville, Florida, but also not much in the way of an airport. So you have to drive there. But anyway, if you're in Orlando, you should definitely visit places like Kelly Park / Rock Springs or Wekiva Springs, or go to a spring and have a good time. But Kelly Park is the best one because it's extremely naturalistic. It's like the most beautiful lazy river of all time, but it is actually like nature itself, only seconded by my other favorite, which is around Gainesville, the Itchtuckney. But anyway, hey, if you ever need advice on what to do in Florida,
message me
on Facebook.
I
or
went
something.
To Busch Gardens for the first time.
Oh yeah, we did that. We went
I
to Busch Gardens.
I fucking hate it.
You're not a fan of roller coasters.
Oh my god, everyone's going on. Let's go on the Shikra, and I get in, and
I think that's my favorite one. That's the one that's 10 across and 3 rows back, right?
Here's the thing.
It's not 10.
It's
across.
Got a big fucking falcon on top of the roller coaster.
Oh, okay, that's the wrong one. I always get the names confused because I live by the one in Virginia, the Williamsburg one.
Yeah.
So I got used to the names of all those roller coasters, and then they have the same coasters here, but with different names, and it's confusing.
Long story short, I freaked out before the roller coaster started and had to embarrass myself and get off the roller coaster before they went.
Brandon, you're fine.
What happened?
You didn't embarrass yourself.
I was like, this is fine. I can do this fucking batshit crazy roller coaster, and then the shoulder and chest rest, whatever the fuck you call it, comes down. And it's so big that I can't move or anything. And then I'm like, oh, hey, I can't breathe. And I start freaking out. Oh, I can't breathe. I'm like, I'll be fine.
Is this one of the ones where your feet dangle?
No.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, because the hydraulics.
Oh.
You miss the cool hydraulic floors that go.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm okay with missing that. I went on a fucking scary roller coaster after that anyway. But
well, this is the one that zips over water and kicks up a big wake wave.
Right.
And then it flew up. And then as we were walking by on our way out, it flew up and a dude's shoe spiraled out of the sky.
I almost hit like a child.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is I might be slightly claustrophobic because the harness that you're in is so big and constricting. Like, I was freaking out.
You're like
out.
The tiniest person, too.
I know.
I've seen large people go on that roller coaster.
I know.
And, like, I've literally seen workers push on that harness to be able to strap them
in. Well, that's the thing is I'm so
and
tiny.
And you're like,
that
you're
the
saying that you're claustrophobic from it?
Well, I'm so tiny that the harness is like 50% of my body size. Whereas if you're a big guy, it's just like a vest.
Yeah, but you should have been floating around in there.
Yeah, I couldn't though. That's why I was like, just remove it and I'll just hold on for dear life. I'd rather do that. But I went onto a roller coaster after.
The Cobra's Curse!
Which I also fucking hated because the roller coaster spins and rotates around
each
other. I've
never gone on that one yet.
The most unusual roller coaster
it's a
I've ever
new
been
one.
On.
It's very, very new.
Yeah, it's new, and it's. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
But I was able to do that fine because the harness was small, and apparently that's my fucking weakness is the size of a goddamn harness. I was okay with it, even though I was still yelling at everyone how much I hate them during the roller coaster.
He was. He was very spiteful.
It was so scary. You had to go down backwards and then front.
Okay, let me explain how this thing's set up, because if I describe it to you, you'll be like, yeah, you're right. That is a very fucking weird roller coaster.
It like comes off the track and spins while you're going like 60.
When they load you in, it's got two four-person mine carts, or maybe more than four, but it's like minecarts. And so they then move up and they get elevated directly up, and then on these tracks, and they are in a position where you will at different times be doing an extremely fast roller coaster backwards, forwards. The orientation of the carts in regards to facing each other will change, and they will like spin.
They're spinning and shifting around each other.
Like while they're moving.
Wow.
It's fucking strange. Like you've never been on anything like it before.
Yeah. And
it sounds delightful. I would probably love it.
I hate water too, and I liked the water rides because they weren't roller coasters. So that was great. I got soaked.
See, I hate water rides, but I love roller coasters. But my reason for hating water rides has nothing to do with like the fear of it. It's more like I don't like walking around wet all day because I'm not going to go to Busch Gardens in my.
They have people sized dryers that you can walk into,
but they were out of order.
But they're broken and they cost $5 when they're working.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't want to be wet. I don't want to look for a place to put my phone, you know, stuff like that.
I didn't expect to go on a water ride. We did not plan for going on a water ride.
It was also 100 degrees, so it felt great.
I have dressed in an apparel that is appropriate to like doing Busch Gardens with water rides, and I can confirm it is actually pretty great. But you do have to create a wardrobe for it, which is kind of lame.
I was wearing quick dry pants, and they were pretty great. I mean, it's all I needed.
But what about your underwear? Were they quick dry?
Well, no, I shit in them during the first roller coaster. They were hard and crusty. They might have insulated me against water later on.
I will be putting out via the Consequence of Sound podcast a double interview very soon with Mario McNulty and Reeves Gabrels, two David Bowie collaborators. And if you know me and my relationship with David Bowie's music, you'll know that this is probably a huge fucking deal for me, and you'd be right. These two dudes got together and remade David Bowie's 1988 record, Never Let Me Down, which is Bowie's least favorite record he ever did, and as soon as he put it out, he wanted to redo the whole thing. He did a remix back in the early 2000s of one of the tracks that he thought really needed the most attention to let it shine. And the songwriting on the record's beautiful, but the production sucks. So he had a proof of concept. And according to this this interview, basically, David Bowie left a bunch of envelopes, like, open one of these a year, and I'll tell you what to do next. And the envelope for this year was, get these people together and remake Never Let Me Down. And
those two people specifically.
Well, specifically the producer Mario McNulty. He might have actually I think he actually assembled the entire band. It was all people who he'd collaborated with in the past. Reeves Gabrels was David Bowie's lead guitarist and main collaborator from like 1988 through 2001, and then they parted ways. So this is a big deal, him being on this. Like, all of my favorite Bowie records of that era were touched by Reeves Gabrels, especially Outside, the episode that Mark with the C and I did an entire Real Congregation about. And it's the cyberpunk rock opera thing. So this record, the new version of the record, I'm a bit 50-50 on it, but some of it is incredible. If you love David Bowie, it's like having a brand new David Bowie record. And these are the two people responsible, Mario McNulty, the producer, and Reeves Gabrels, the incredible guitarist. And I might add that in the interview with Reeves, there's a little bit of a teaser as to what is to come next in terms of the Bowie reissue catalog and things that might happen, some secret things coming from the vault, and some great stories to share. So that is on the Consequence of Sound podcast feed, and I'm very, very excited about that particular thing. I don't know when it's coming out.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So David Bowie is dead.
Yes.
And he has many of these envelopes, one to be opened per year.
Yeah.
How many of these envelopes does he have left?
At least two.
Oh, man, I would have written like 1,000.
I don't know. This was, I don't know.
For the next 1,000 years.
I'm not sure how much hyperbole it was, but Reeves was like, yeah, you know, he had a 5-year plan, and this is, you know, the third envelope, so here we go.
Weird. Last one is like, snort my ashes.
That would have probably had to have been the first one.
Through your bum.
Because who knows where they are right now.
Someone's got them.
One of them's just like, take a break. You deserve it.
or join me. You've already touched the envelope that's been laced with poison. See you soon.
That's the final envelope.
No, it's the second to last. The last envelope will never be opened because they're dead.
I do love that David Bowie has like a, you know, a 5-year plan.
We should all do something like that, like secret envelopes to be mailed or to someone or to be opened upon a certain date.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
Yeah, I think that's a nice thing for anybody to do.
Why don't we just be used condoms?
Like you're still around manipulating the world even after you're gone.
Spread my seed. Here is a filled condom. It's 10 years old, but it works.
I'm very potent.
It's been in the sun in Florida for years.
Why is this envelope in a freezer?
Should have thought of putting it in a freezer, damn it.
Mm. So what else? We talked about Cthulhu. We talked about Bowie.
We've talked enough about shit.
We have talked enough about shit, but I want to share a couple things. I'll share one thing. I'll share two things.
I'm gonna do
two things.
Okay.
Adventure Time ended recently.
Good riddance.
You're such a bad.
That show was shit from the beginning.
It was amazing.
What a cry for attention if I've ever heard it.
Wow, Brandon, you're a very popular individual right now.
No, it was good.
It was an amazing show. It was an incredible show. It was an intense and weird ending. I kind of wish they got to spend a little bit more time, but it was very Adventure Time. It was.
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
I haven't seen it since Elements or Islands. It's super wild. Well, yeah, it ties up a lot of loose ends, and it is definitely sent. You will have, like, you think it's hard to understand Adventure Time. If you haven't watched from Elements to the very end, you'll have no clue what the hell's happening. And even then, it tags back to a lot of stuff.
Skyhooks.
It doesn't tag back to Skyhook.
Oh, I want more Skyhook.
the series ended, and there might still be a movie, who knows. But much to my surprise, shortly after the end of the series, like within a few weeks, the Adventure Time Season 11 comic started coming out.
So they're continuing the comic, but they've ended the show.
They've ended the show, but this is a continuation, a hypothetically canonical continuation, because the comics have always been kind of up in the air, of the show immediately following the events of the finale.
But it'll be, like, written and done by just other people, yeah, not really associated with him.
Well, it's not any people who were on staff, as far as I know. It's someone named Sonny Liu and Ted Anderson. As a duo writing team. But I read the first issue. It was great. There's some very satisfying character arc continuations that happen there. And an interesting fact is that in this comic, they went ahead and did something that was kind of maybe a long time coming, which is that they used they/their pronouns for BMO.
BMO.
And so that's a thing, which is fun. The other thing is that if you haven't heard, Deadpool 2 is being brought back to theaters.
Oh yes,
this Christmas.
They're putting it in theaters.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that part of it.
The 21st of December. A little film called The Deadpool Before Christmas comes out.
Going for sure.
And it is being considered. There's not a lot of information just yet, but it's being considered an adapted version of Deadpool 2
for children.
It has a PG-13 rating for all the kids who dress up as Deadpool for Halloween, but actually legally haven't really been able to see the film.
The thing that's what I really want to see from this movie, and we can all speculate, is that they'll just put, like, crappy CG snow, like, falling down the whole movie, and they'll edit all the swear words with, like, banana, and, like, really bad dubbing.
One speculation that I saw based on, like, a picture that was
Ryan
released.
Reynolds tweeted a picture.
Yeah.
And it is...
Fred Savage.
Oh, yeah,
right?
it's Fred Savage
from Princess Bride,
who was who was at the time the child in Princess Bride,
but he's still in the same bed, laying down
in a child's room in a bed, and Deadpool is in a chair with a Santa hat on, reading him a book.
So I hope it's all the whole movie's narrated, like bad CG snow, just like really funny edits.
It's going to be heavily edited, obviously, because it's a rated R film, but it will feature 15 minutes of new footage as well as a new character, and in theory, that new character is Fred Savage.
Oh, is Columbo still alive? Because he played Fred Savage's dad.
Columbo is long gone. I'm trying to think of his name.
It's Columbo.
Yeah, it's Columbo. I thought that was... He never had a name. It was Columbo.
The actor's name.
Columbo.
Columbo.
There was, in Budapest, there's a statue
of Columbo
and a dog, and it's on a street that has the same last name as
Columbo
the
street.
Actor who played
him. Yeah, it's Columbo.
It's Columbo, Columbo, yeah.
Yeah, Luigi Mario, Mario, Columbo.
God damn, why can't I... I've never not been able to remember his name, but it's gone now. So anyway, moving on and move to the very end of the show. Thanks so much for listening. I had a blast. That's
the end of the show.
Bye. Woo!
Hi, I'm Dan Snow, and I'd like to tell you about a special series of podcasts that I've made with 1418 Now. That's the UK arts program marking 100 years since the end of the First World War, a war that continues to shape the world that we live in today. In the first one, I'll be meeting Peter Jackson, director of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. You may have heard of him. He's just finished an amazing new film made with First World War footage from the Imperial War Museum. It's absolutely extraordinary. He's colorized the footage, he's added a soundtrack, and he's created the whole thing in 3D. It's an incredible achievement that brings the war to life in a way that I have never seen before. I'll be talking to him about how he made the film, the challenges he faced, what he hopes it will bring, and why he loves history. Look for the History Hit podcast wherever you get yours, the world's best history podcast, and listen to this fascinating story.
Alice started to her feet. She had never before seen a rabbit with a waistcoat pocket or a watch. Burning with curiosity, she ran after it, just in time to see it pop down a large rabbit hole. She went to follow, but received a Snapchat from her sister playing with the cat. Distracted, Alice forgot all about the waistcoated rabbit and went on to a less than successful career in recruitment. The end.
Don't let silly distractions get in the way of great stories. With the world's largest selection of audiobooks, the difference is audible.